gospel lesson is found on page 939 in your Bibles. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. John. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you desolate. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you will live also. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Heavenly Father, we are grateful that we can come together in your presence to worship you this morning. We count on your promise that whenever two or three are gathered together in your name, you are there in the midst of them. Make that known to us this morning. Show yourself to us in a way that we might see you more clearly. Speak to us in a way that we might hear you more distinctly. Father, pour out your Spirit upon each and all of us that we might follow you more faithfully. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Got a question for you. Do you believe that gravity is real and it's an active force which has an impact on our lives, whether we want it to or not?
Yes. Do you?
So I asked the 7:30 folks, and some of them were going, yes, like most of you were, but there were a couple that going, uh-oh, where's he going with this? I would point out that how you answer that question has no bearing on you being kept from floating up and bumping your head against the ceiling this morning. I can tell that you all count on gravity. You believe that it's going to be true, it's going to be consistent. And you know why I know that? None of you are wearing crash helmets. Let me give you an example to illustrate the importance of knowing the truth about gravity being a real and active force. That it is true here in Oaks, Pennsylvania, and it is true in Indianapolis, Indiana, where I grew up. When I was 12 years old, they were constructing a new bridge for College Avenue over White River, a span of about 200 yards or something like that. Well, at one point, the steel beams were in place, but no decking, nothing else. It was just the beams. And it was probably a minimum of about 50 feet from the top of the beams to the river below. Well, for some reason, I felt compelled to walk across one of the beams to the other side of the river, demonstrating two things. First, because I was aware of the truth about gravity, I was very careful. It had an impact on my behavior. And second, because I was aware of the truth about gravity, I showed my foolishness in disobeying what I knew my parents would have said if I asked their permission. This morning, we come to the topic of Jesus being the truth, something difficult for many people to accept. It's not a new thing for people to question and challenge the connection between Jesus and truth. When Jesus stood before Pontius Pilate and made that connection, Pilate responded with that infamous question, "What is truth?" A major reason why people struggle with it, I think, is personal. If there is truth, my life must adjust to it accordingly, or I show myself foolish for ignoring the truth. Because the truth is true, it will impact my life no matter what I think about it. Today's psalm and each of our lessons, we are reminded of God's long-standing promise and practice regarding the deliverance of his people. The ultimate fulfillment coming in what Jesus has done for us on the cross as our Savior. That truth is woven through the scriptures. As the Apostle Peter wrote, "For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, in order that he might bring us to God." Peter wrote that as a man who knew the risen Lord Jesus and who was empowered and inspired by the Holy Spirit to do so. If you remember, last week we left off with Jesus telling the disciples gathered in the upper room that after he was gone, they would be involved continuing on with the same kind of works they had seen him do, and better than that, even greater works. It seemed preposterous to the disciples that they would be able to do anything of the sort without Jesus, and they were right. As this conversation continues, Jesus explains how that is going to be possible, but only because of the basic reality of Jesus being the truth. There are three connections I want to identify for us as disciples, as followers of Jesus. On page 939, if you want to follow along. First, note the connection between our loving devotion to Jesus and our commitment to obedience to Jesus. Verse 15, we hear Jesus say it this way, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Because Jesus is the truth, if they are growing in their love for him, they will also be growing in their obedience to him. That's what he was saying. Some people may find that as harsh or maybe even contradictory. It's suggested that love and obedience are completely different and unrelated categories. But that usually comes from the perspective of our wanting love without constraints. Folks, that is quote-unquote love centered on ourselves. But Jesus points to the inherent connection between love and obedience. We show our love for Jesus by modeling our lives after the things he did, but also the things he said. Because he is the truth, the deeds and the words always have a perfect coherence. To say we love the things he did, but just cannot buy into all the things he said, is to love something other than the real Jesus. Think about the bridge, or I should say the steel beams, over White River. Because it is true about gravity, it was also true that walking across the steel beam was dangerous. I never should have been out there. I knew my parents would have said, "No!" In that moment, I did not love them enough to obey them. For us to love Jesus, who is the truth, will mean that we listen carefully to what he says so that we can seek to live our lives accordingly. Understand that some people can be very clever with disarming sound bites which undermine our confidence in Jesus as the truth. For example, two hot topics of our generation include soundbite claims that Jesus never mentions the word abortion or talks specifically about same-sex marriage. The argument is then made that he has nothing to say about those topics. Folks, it completely ignores the teaching about the value of human life beginning in the womb as God knits us together. It sidesteps the clear affirmation Jesus made about marriage being designed by God for one man and one woman being united in marriage, the two becoming one flesh. The words, okay, it's true, specifically the words might not be mentioned, but there's a whole lot said about those topics. Our genuine love for Jesus will prompt us to listen carefully to what he says and follow faithfully in what we say and do as his people. That includes resting in the genuine forgiveness we have from him when we confess and repent of our failings. A friend of mine remembers working at a church in New Jersey some years ago, and he recalls every week the senior pastor of that church ended each sermon, as my friend put it, urging his people to repent of their sins, give their lives to Christ, and follow him till they died. Why did he do that? He did that because he knew Jesus to be the way and the truth and the life. It impacted his words and his actions. Second, note the connection between Jesus, the truth, and his equipping us to do what he calls us to do. He goes on in verse 16 saying, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. What's he saying there? Jesus is promising the Holy Spirit to be given to live in each and all of his followers, those in that room and those in this room. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, who will, as Jesus explains a bit later, take what is mine and make it known to you. Specifically empowering and equipping these disciples to serve as apostles and passing on the truth we have come to describe as the apostles' teaching. Also including the current work of the Holy Spirit in our own lives to grow in our understanding of that truth and how to live it out. It's not always easy, is it? It's not always easy for us to discern between what is true and what isn't true. We can get some pretty weird ideas in our heads as people insist you can make the scriptures mean whatever you want them to mean. You ever hear people say that? It's nonsense. I think of the episode of the TV show Everybody Loves Raymond. Raymond and Deborah were talking about Ray's dad, Frank. Which, by the way, I've been told that the actor who played, Peter Boyle, who played the role of Frank, actually grew up right down here on Black Rock Road. I don't know if that's true or not, but I have been told that. At any rate, in the show, Ray was making the point that his dad does not always necessarily think deeply, saying, he thinks the whole point of the Adam and Eve story is don't eat while you're naked. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sure that that was not truth discerned with the help of the Holy Spirit. But sometimes it's harder to know. As Charles Spurgeon, who pointed out, discernment is not simply a matter of telling the difference between right and wrong. Rather, it is the difference between right and almost right. When we struggle to discern what is true, Jesus promises this, that the Holy Spirit is with us to help us discern the truth we need to know. Tim Keller discusses this in his book he wrote with his wife Kathy, The Meaning of Marriage. He writes, the Holy Spirit unfolds the meaning of Jesus' person and work to believers in such a way that the glory of it, its infinite importance and beauty, is brought home to the mind and heart so that they console and empower and change us at our very center, creating an inner music and an inner relish in the soul. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And third, from what Jesus says here, note the connection between the seen and the unseen. The truth that is seen, which allows us to trust the truth we only come to see by faith. Jesus goes on in verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you." They had seen Jesus. They could see him at that very moment as he was speaking, affirming the perfect unity of Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Jesus is also affirming their perfect collaboration in truth. Therefore, there will never be any contradiction between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Jesus is preparing them for the time that is coming when they will not see his physical presence, but his presence will still be with them because the Holy Spirit will be in them. Only as they trust in that truth will they come to see the fruit of the greater works. It's not uncommon for people to struggle to understand the Holy Spirit, his nature and work in our lives. Precisely because we cannot physically see the Holy Spirit, we can grow doubtful, if not skeptical or even belligerent. If you find yourself there, let me make a suggestion. Let me suggest that you look at Jesus. In seeing him more clearly, we see the Father more clearly, and we see the Holy Spirit more clearly. Being one God, there is perfect unity in character and in purpose. Therefore, having seen Jesus, we can trust that to be true. At the end of today's lesson, Jesus comes back to where he started regarding our love for him being connected with our obedience to him. But it is within that context of knowing him as the truth, who is the risen, living Lord, who has given us his Holy Spirit to live in us. He is with us to help us grow in knowing the truth and in living the truth, all connected to growing and loving Jesus, who is the truth. And that is how we grow in our faithful witness to him that comes out in all kinds of ways. This past Friday, I was at the dentist's office unexpectedly for what I thought was a fairly simple procedure of replacing a filling. I thought a filling had come out. It turns out the work was more extensive as I needed to get a crown for one of my teeth. At one point, when my mouth wasn't full of dental implements, I couldn't help myself. I said, "Guess what hymn keeps going through my mind?" It was automatic. But they couldn't think of what it might be, and they thought about it for about 15 minutes. Finally giving up, they asked me to tell them the title. "Dave, crown him with many crowns." I mean, of course. Well, I told them, and it really surprised me that they didn't recognize the title. When they asked me to sing it, they still didn't recognize it, which didn't surprise me at all. Because I was the last patient of the morning, it sort of became an office challenge, and only one of them vaguely recognized it. Well, I get to go back because of how they do crowns. I get to go back in 2 weeks for a follow-up visit. It will be interesting to see if any of them track down the hymn to listen to it. If I can find a tape or a CD or something with that hymn, I'll take it with me to play for them. And if not, I'll find a way for them to Google it so they can play it right there in the office and let the hymn and the words of the hymn ring out through all the different rooms. Here's my point. Through a very ordinary kind of experience, even a somewhat unpleasant one, the Lord gave me the opportunity to share the truth about him with two other people. And it became a fun, expansive conversation with another two people, which may or may not have stayed with them the rest of the day. What's more, it gives me the chance to bring that before them again in 2 weeks. Maybe letting that music sound throughout the office for yet others to hear. And maybe it will become inner music for one of them. A heart song that allows them to relish the truth about Jesus in their soul. Let's bow our heads as we pray together. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you have not left us floundering on our own to figure everything out, but you have come to us in the person of your Son, Jesus, to reveal yourself to us, to redeem us from our sin, to reconcile us to yourself so that we might not just know about you, but know you directly. We thank you for that. Father, as we find rest and comfort in that truth, may the full compass of your truth be reflected throughout our lives, that we would be faithful witnesses in all that we say and do. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.